Hello and welcome to this IFB webcast. I'm Christy Robinson, a technical principal here at the IFB. I lead the IFB's disclosure initiative, which now includes the IFRS taxonomy team. With me are Bartek Chaika and Andy Wood, both project managers and I would say experts looking after the IFRS taxonomy. They'll be leading the discussion today. So today's webcast will explain our proposed IFRS taxonomy interim release number 2, which we released as a package on the 15th of January and has a comment period ending on Friday the 14th of February. Now we'll allow approximately 30 minutes for the presentation, which should allow approximately 15 minutes for questions at the end. So we hope to wrap up the session in approximately 45 minutes. But before we start, there are a few housekeeping matters for you to bear in mind. First, about questions, as I indicated, we will be allowing some time for questions at the end of the presentation. We may get more questions than we can answer in the time available, we hope, in which case we will try to address the main themes that we think will be of interest to most people. Now, you can submit a question at any time during the webcast. Just type your question in the text box on your screen and click submit. And secondly, especially when we are answering questions later, please remember that the views that are expressed during this webcast are our own. They are not necessarily shared by board members or other staff of the IFB. The official position is in the proposed interim release documents and files we published earlier in January. So now I'll pass over to Bartek, who will take you through the agenda and the first part of the presentation.
Thank you very much, Christy. My name is Bartek Chaika, and I'm an XBRL project manager here with the EISB. Let me start with the agenda of today's webinar. First, I will quickly talk about the IFRS taxonomy as such and interim releases to remind you what they are. Then I will talk about the scope and the development of the IFRS taxonomy. And later, Andy and I will talk about the details of the changes proposed in this interim release too. Then we will talk about some usual matters, so statistics, supporting materials, as well as details of the invitation to comment. Finally, I will offer a quick view into the future when I will talk about the upcoming IFRS taxonomy interim releases. So first, the IFRS taxonomy. As I hope most of you know already, the IFRS taxonomy is consistent with the XBRL technical specifications and is designed to properly reflect the International Financial Reporting Standards as issued here by the EISB. The 2013 annual version of the taxonomy was released in March 2013, on the 27th to be exact, and reflects the IFRS as at 1st of January 2013. Then, in September 2013, we have released the first proposed interim release, which included some minor content changes, as well as a proposal of a new architecture of the IFRS taxonomy, to which we will come back a bit later. This presentation today relates to the proposed interim release 2, which we published a couple of days ago on the 15th of January. Over 120 countries have already adopted IFRSs, and many of them are now implementing XBRL. We have about 30 open projects that relate somehow to the IFRS taxonomy. Now, what are the interim releases to the IFRS taxonomy? An interim release contains additional taxonomy concepts and technical updates and correction. We publish interim releases to keep the taxonomy as up-to-date as possible. This proposed interim release is also designed to be a part of an accelerated timeline for the release of the 2014 taxonomy, which should happen at the beginning of March. This release is an update, obviously, to the IFRS taxonomy 2013, but also to the interim release 1 that we published in September. The changes in this interim release include four main topics. The first one is the changes related to IFRS 9 financial instruments in relation to hedge accounting that were published by the EISB in November 2013. Secondly, we have the annual improvements to IFRSs, the 2010-2012 cycle. Then we have amendments that relate to common practice elements, so our analysis of common practice in IFRS financial statements for telecommunication and real estate activities. And finally, we have some technical architecture changes that will be introduced in the IFRS taxonomy 2014. Already at this moment, let me note that only changes 1 and 3 out of that slide are included in the IFRS taxonomy XBRL files. The changes number 2 and 4 are not yet included in the files. However, they will be included in the 2014 IFRS taxonomy. Now a few words about scope and development process of the taxonomy. So the question is, what do we consider when we are creating the XBRL tax? And obviously the first source of our information is the IFRS authoritative documents, so the IFRS bound volume as issued by the EISB. That consists of Part A, IASs, IFRSs, and their application guidance, as well as Part B, which are the accompanying documents, so illustrative examples, guidance on implementing, basis for conclusions. The second part of the sources that we use is the IFRS financial reporting in practice. Here we have the company's financial statements, which we analyze by way of empirical analysis on based on samples. We also interact with all stakeholders that have something to do with the IFRS financial statements, so issuers, regulators, users. We also take into account the illustrative financial statement of the Big Four audit firms and any other type of relevant information that impacts IFRSs. We follow a precise decision tree when we develop the IFRS taxonomy. The first question that we always ask is, does the element impact an IFRS financial report? If it does not, then clearly it's not in scope of our taxonomy. If it does impact the IFRS financial report, then the question is it coming from the IFRS bound volume as issued by the EISB? If it does, then it is in scope of the taxonomy, and it's either a disclosure requirement or an example. If it does not, then the next question we ask, is it commonly reported in IFRS financial statement? If it isn't, then it's not in scope. If it is, then the last question on our list is, does it infringe IFRS reporting requirements in any way? If it does, then it's not in our scope. If it doesn't, then it becomes a common practice element or an industry practice element. So you can see in green are all the boxes that impact the IFRS taxonomy, and in pink or red are those that do not impact the taxonomy. Final slide of this part of the presentation is the development timeline for the 2014 taxonomy. Please note that this timeline is specific to the IFRS taxonomy 2014. It should be quite similar to the future taxonomies. However, we cannot say for sure because the due process changes are now being finalized. As you can see, in November 2013, we started work on the proposed interim release 2. Then in December, it has undergone a review of our XQRT, so XBRL quality review team. On the 15th of January, we have publicly released the proposed interim release. It has a comment period until the 14th of February, and then we will compile everything into the final IFRS taxonomy 2014. We expect to publish the annual taxonomy 2014 in early March. However, it does depend on the number of comments that we receive on the interim release. Then afterwards, a new taxonomy development cycle will start, and we will issue interim releases for new or improved IFRSs for common practice. Now some details of the changes proposed in this interim release. So as I said before, first we have the changes that are already included in the XBRL files of the taxonomy. The first big change here is the hedge accounting. In November 2013, the EISB published the IFRS 9 financial instruments, which had new requirements for hedge accounting and also removed the mandatory effective date of IFRS 9. As a result, we have created 133 new elements that relate to hedge accounting, and most of them are placed in the section of the taxonomy that relates to financial instruments, obviously. Also, we have changed 181 references due to removal of the mandatory effective date of IFRS 9. So all elements that had an effective date of the 1st of January 2015, which was the previous effective date of IFRS 9, now have references that say effective on application of IFRS 9, as that standard is now ready for application. In more details, we have created a new five new tables relating to the hedge accounting. So we have disclosures about the risk management strategy, we have the disclosures about terms and conditions of hedging instruments, then the detailed information about hedging instruments and hedged items, as well as the impact of hedge accounting on statement of comprehensive income. The last table relates to credit exposures designated as at fair value for profit and loss. In addition to those tables that are placed in the financial instrument sections, we have also added some elements to IAS-1 presentation of financial statements. And these elements include line items for statement of comprehensive income and line items as well as some members for the statement of changes in equity. Finally, we have also changed the existing table for analysis of other comprehensive income, as some of the disclosures that relate to hedging in this table are now required to be done by type of risk. The next large part of the changes to the IFRS taxonomy are the common practice elements. As you may know, since 2012, the IFRS taxonomy includes elements that reflect common reporting practices within IFRS financial statements. Those elements are added based on an analysis of a sample of real-life IFRS financial statements, as well as the Big Four illustrated financial statements. In 2013, our analysis comprised two types of activity, telecommunication and real estate. In addition to those specific activity elements, we have also identified a number of general elements during this analysis. We have verified them with our general IFRS financial statement sample, and then if they proved relevant, they were also added to the IFRS taxonomy. In detail, those changes included 14 new elements relating to the telecommunication activity, mostly to the different types of revenue from telecommunication activity, as well as classes of non-current assets. We have 29 new elements relating to real estate activity, mostly for types of receivables, liabilities, and income and costs. We have 39 new elements related to general reporting, out of which I would like to name the changes to the table for intangible assets, where we have deprecated 12 elements, as you can see below, and introduced an additional axis for method of generation of intangible assets. We have also added a new table for details of borrowings. Now to the changes that were not yet included in the taxonomy files. The first change is rather minor. It relates to annual improvements to IFRS, the 2010-2012 cycle. And this document resulted in five new items, or five changes to the taxonomy. The one was new line item for IFRS 8 operating segments. There was a new table that related to IS-24. And three existing elements that were already in the taxonomy received new references to IS-16 and IS-38 and were placed in the sections relating to those standards. Now I will give the floor to Andy, and she will talk about the changes to the architecture of the IFRS taxonomy.
Hello, my name is Andy. I'm a project manager and data modeler of the IFRS taxonomy team. As you may be aware, the proposed interim release from September last year introduced a new modular file architecture for the IFRS taxonomy. This included separate modules for the taxonomy elements relating to management commentary and also those relating to the IFRS for SMEs. The files for the new proposed interim release are based on this architecture. We, however, also received feedback on the proposed modular structure during the public review period for that September proposed interim release. And as a result, the final file architecture for the IFRS annual taxonomy 2014 will be different from the initial proposals. The final architecture will include separate namespaces for each of the taxonomy modules. So there will be a namespace for full IFRS, IFRS for SMEs, and one for management commentary. These namespaces will apply to all taxonomy line items, members, etc., defined within each of these modules. The rest of the taxonomy element names, labels, and properties will all remain the same. In order to allow the SME module to stand alone if required, we have also included all elements with SME references within that SME namespace. This increases the number of elements in this module, but also allows us to fully represent the differences between the SME reporting and the full IFRSs. These files will also now only make use of the XML schema import function within the entry points. The previously proposed structure had also made use of the XML schema include function, but feedback suggested this could cause some problems for some users, especially some software vendors. We have also taken the opportunity to simplify the file architecture as compared with the September release and tidy up inconsistencies in folder naming and hierarchies from earlier file architectures. For those users accessing taxonomy files directly, this should hopefully improve general file navigation. The following slide includes a diagram of the final architecture for your information. We have also included a document giving a description of this architecture along with this diagram with the current proposed interim release and some questions for general feedback. I will now hand you back to Bartek for a look at the statistics and the supporting materials.
Thank you, Andy. So now the slide that some of you are used to, so the statistics. On the slide, you can see the annual taxonomies, the three final annual taxonomies that we have released and the latest proposed interim release. As you can see, the taxonomy has grown again, mainly due to the addition of new hedging requirements as well as the new common practice elements. As you can see, we have not touched the IFRS for SMEs as this standard has not changed. It is also worth mentioning that about 1,000 elements are common for IFRS for SMEs and full IFRS. Therefore, as a result of the changes in the architecture that Andy has just discussed, the final IFRS taxonomy 2014 will have additional 1,000 elements that relate to the split between the IFRS for SMEs and full IFRS. So we will have about 5,000 elements in the annual taxonomy 2014. Now to the supporting materials. With the exception of one significant addition that we will describe later, the main supporting materials remain the same. So we have the IFRS taxonomy illustrated, which is a human readable view of the IFRS taxonomy presentation link base. And for elements, you also have their references and their types visible. We also have the versioned IFRS taxonomy illustrated, which is very similar to the IFRS taxonomy illustrated. However, it nicely shows in colors the changes that we have made to the taxonomy since the previous release. So in green, you will see the new elements or elements that were not in that part of the taxonomy before. And in pink, red, and you will see the elements that were removed from the taxonomy. Finally, we have the XIFRS, which shows the text of the IFRS, so of the standard itself, with XBRL elements that are referenced to particular paragraphs embedded in the text. So in the red box, you will see the XBRL elements under a paragraph of, in this case, IAS 17 on leases. Now to the invitation to comment. So the complete set of the files that we have released comprises proposed interim release review document, about which I will talk in a second, IFRS taxonomy files, including all the entry points, IFRS taxonomy illustrated in PDF and HTML as presented on previous slides, the XIFRS, and here I have to note that the XIFRS is available for changes to hedge accounting only, and it's a paid content available via our eIFRS website. We also have the Excel file providing the taxonomy view with documentation labels. So for each element from the presentation tree, you will have also the documentation label. All those files are available at the link that you can see on the top of the slide. The significant addition to our supporting documents is the proposed interim release review document. So for each group of those changes that we have discussed before, so IFRS 9, annual improvements, common practice, as well as the architecture, we have released a separate document that are aimed at non-technical users or less technical users of the IFRS taxonomy. The documents are supposed to ask the questions that we would like you to comment on and show the change that we have done to the taxonomy in a way that no XBRL software is necessary. Here you have also an example visualization of a table, so we explain what are line items, what are axes, what are members, and we visualize the table as you would see it in the financial statement. The deadline for the comments is the 14th of January 2014. As I said, the specific questions are included in the proposed interim review documents, and they relate to those four main groups of changes to the IFRS taxonomy. Comments should be submitted in writing via our website, and we have a separate link for modularization-related comments and a separate link for all other comments. Finally, look into the future, so future IFRS taxonomy interim releases for 2014. Obviously, the interim releases that we do depend on the EISB agenda and on EISB finalizing certain projects. From the EISB work plan, we can see that the interim releases this year first will be rate regulated activities, which is supposed to be published very soon, and revenue recognition, which is supposed to be issued in the first quarter of 2014. Then in the first half of 2014, the EISB is planning to issue classification and measurement changes, so IFRS 7 and IFRS 9 changes, as well as the impairment standard. Shall those standards be issued, they will have a significant impact on the IFRS taxonomy. There are also projects that are in the pipeline of the EISB. However, we are not sure whether they will be finalized in 2014. Shall they be finalized in 2014, they will impact the IFRS taxonomy. Here we have the IFRS for SMEs review, which the EISB has published an exposure draft that is available for comment until the 3rd of March 2014, as well as annual improvements 2012-2014 cycle, which are also available for comment until March. Then we have the two big projects, namely leases and insurance contracts. Those projects are in the redeliberation phase of the EISB. And we have macro hedge accounting, where a discussion paper is supposed to be issued in the first quarter of 2014. However, the discussion paper is the first stage of the new IFRS process creation process. Shall any of these be finalized, we will issue an interim release. Finally, common and industry practice. We already know that we will issue the interim release for pharma, retail, and transport, but we are also considering analyzing further industries and releasing interim releases for those industries. We expect those interim releases to be issued around the second or third quarter of this year.
Okay, well, I think that's the end of the presentation. Thank you, Bartek. Thanks, Andy. We've had a couple of questions come through, and I also have brought forward some of the questions that we received this morning to this webcast. So perhaps the first one I'll pass to you, Andy. Will the new taxonomy file architecture affect the hierarchy or presentation for full IFRS or IFRS for SMEs?
So basically, the modularization affects the file architecture, which is mainly handled by the software. Anybody looking at the presentation views for the IFRS for SMEs or the full IFRS should see no differences. Those presentation views will remain the same, and loading an entry point into the software should mostly give you the same view as it did previously.
Okay. Bartek, one for you then. Are there any other, I suppose, other than annual improvements, new elements or changes I will see in the annual taxonomy in 2014, but not either in either of the interim releases?
Yes, there are such changes, however they are minor. Those changes are an effect of us receiving comments on the September interim release or on the January interim release. So based on the comments received so far, we will only do some minor changes. The other changes depend on the comments that we might still receive.
Okay. All right. Andy, here's one for you. Will the IFRS taxonomy or XBRL be an essential part of IFRS adoption in the future?
Well, obviously at the moment, IFRS adoption is not linked at all to whether or not the taxonomy is adopted. The taxonomy is only really required or used by jurisdictions with an electronic filing or a digital filing project. Obviously, we're in the process at this end of moving the way that our taxonomy development work takes place so that it is more integrated with the main standard process, and we expect the taxonomy itself to be more integrated with the full standards in future as well. Obviously, what we'd like to see is that everywhere that we have an electronic filing project or a digital filing project does use the IFRS taxonomy, and we hope that this will be more common in future as well.
Okay. Any comment?
Yeah, I think in general, XBRL or the IFRS taxonomy is very useful when you are analyzing IFRSs. So we were hoping that the taxonomy will become an important part of the IFRS adoption in general. However, as said, we don't think it will be a requirement any soon.
Okay. And actually, we're hoping to use internally the IFRS taxonomy as a way to analyze our own disclosures. So it actually is a very good way of analyzing how IFRS is being actually used and how we're actually writing it. Another question. So how much time will it usually take between the actual submission of the final standard and the update of the taxonomy? Maybe Bartek, you could take that.
I assume by submission of the standard, you mean the date that the EIB issues the standard. Due to the fact that we are heavily involved in the creation of the standard, also we are reviewing the standards before it is issued, so we are not actually working off the final standard. We are involved much earlier as the XBRL team. We are practically ready with the first version of the taxonomy around the day that the IFRS is issued. However, due to our processes, obviously, our review processes, it will take about 2 to 3 weeks, I assume, before we are able to release any interim release for public comments. And, of course, there is a public comment period, so the final interim release will be released about a month after the proposed interim release for public comments. There might also be cases when we decide to join two standards issued by the EIB into one interim release. So there might be also a slight delay to one of those two standards that are published almost in close proximity. However, that should not be significant.
Okay, so another question here regarding the adoption of XBRL by the EU for listed companies. Have you received any comments from them on the IFRS taxonomy? And I suppose my understanding is that the EU is assessing the possibilities at the moment and are therefore looking at how an electronic filing can work best in Europe. And my understanding is they're still very much in the assessment phases. But, as and when they need to discuss the IFRS taxonomy, obviously we'll be discussing that with them.
So as you know, last year the EU Parliament has decided that there will be mandatory electronic reporting from 2020. And until the end of 2016, ESMA should decide on the technical standards. So we are aware that there are developments going on, and we are always in touch with those bodies. However, we cannot have any details on timing or taxonomy or anything.
Okay. I think there's only one other question, which is, do you have a list of jurisdictions where the IFRS taxonomy is used? And I think the response is that we don't have a definitive list, and actually, like the work that we've done recently about the adoption of IFRS globally, we're starting to undertake some work as to how the IFRS taxonomy is used and implemented across the world as well. So we hope to have some work that we could actually publish, and I think we'll be working that through this year. So the answer is that nothing definitive at the moment, but we will come back with something at a later date. And a final question here. Somebody's asked, I think, leading off the question about the requirement for EU listed companies to file electronically. Somebody has also asked, what about the SEC? And I think that's with respect to foreign filers and are the SEC, how's their sort of requirement to require foreign filers to file an instance document of IFRS financial statements in XBRL? I'll get that out. Andy, can I pass that over to you?
Yes, we are obviously in contact with the SEC, and some of you will have noticed, and if not, go and have a look, that the IFRS taxonomy has now been added to the list of draft taxonomies for consideration to be included in the EDGAR system. Obviously, we don't have any particular dates or anything along those lines yet, but we're in communication, and we think things are looking reasonably good.
Okay, so I think that's all of the questions we have at the moment. So at that point, I'll say that we'll end of the presentation. So thank you for listening, and thank you for those who did submit questions. If you want to listen to all or some of the webcast again, it will be available to download on the XBRL's webpage on the ISB's website, and apparently that's about 15 minutes after the presentation. There'll also be an earlier webcast this morning, and I think that will also be available. Well, that concludes this afternoon's webcast. I want to thank you for listening and wish you goodbye. Thank you.